has saved me, and he gave me life eternal. Making big plans for my future. I was living my lifetime in vain. Then I prayed for life's only meaning. And now I have everything.
Thank you, ladies. Pastor Cody is going to preach for us this morning. Now, this will be your last opportunity to hear him speak. It has been a busy week, has it not? And we've kept them busy, and we've been busy keeping them busy. But there was a purpose to it all. We wanted you all to have as many opportunities to interact with him as possible, and likewise him to interact with you and his wife. Prior to him coming, we had spoken on the phone several times in emails and texts back and forth, but I didn't really get to know him personally till he got here and to meet his wife and his family, and it's been a joy getting to know them. And I'll just say it. It's my desire that we continue to get to know them. Okay, there, I said it. But it's been a great week, and maybe a little tiring because I know we've had them go in different directions. They're now in their, today they'll be moving into their third set of beds since they've arrived. Even that, just watching them interact with each other as a couple and their handling of their children, I'm just very, very excited about the way God has worked in their lives and the way God has even worked in bringing them here at this point. Well, Pastor Cody, like I said, is going to preach this morning. And let me encourage you, if you have questions for him, ask him. Ask him. You got to do it today, and because he'll be leaving tomorrow. If you want to say more about that, you can. But ask him if you have questions after they leave. Before Wednesday, you can ask me or one of the deacons. We met with him last Wednesday night. And so we just want everyone to be well informed. And then as we, of course, continue to pray for God's will. Pastor Cody, would you come and preach now, please?
All right. How are you guys this morning? You enjoying the weather outside? No, I'm enjoying it, actually. I'm from California and Florida, and I enjoy the cold. Sometimes you just get tired of being comfortable, right? Sometimes you need a little bit of shake-up, amen? No, nobody else agree? No, sometimes you just need to get out of your comfort zone and get out cold and freezing and enjoy the snow. I do enjoy the snow. I grew up in Bakersfield, California, where it snowed once the 23 years I lived there. And one of my greatest memories, actually, of childhood was there growing up there, seeing that day of snow. We had about 4 inches. Should have been 20 inches for us because we just had a great day playing. It was gone the next day. But my grandma, my 70-year-old grandma, It's one of the sweetest young ladies in my life. She got out there, and she made a snowman with us. She'd never seen snow before, really, either. And so it was like she was just like a seven-year-old kid out there. The fact that she was 70, she was 7 years old. And I distinctly remember she grabbed some snow. She went and put it in her freezer, and she was going to throw snowballs at us. And so we came into her house, and she had those frozen snowballs. And, you know, she once again, she had a good arm, too. And it hurt. I'm not sure, but I think my dad had a mark or something on his face when we walked to the door there. But so I love the snow. I enjoy the weather. I enjoy this place. This has been a week now that we have been here at Grace Baptist Church in Taylorville, Illinois. And I just want to say thank you, folks. Many of you have been very gracious. I know we've had some good time. Fellowship Joe took us out to Angelo's, and the Tippetts brought us over to dinner at their house last night. And we got to see all their grandkids and their kids' pictures. I enjoyed that. I enjoy hearing grandparents talk about their grandkids. I can't wait till I'm a grandpa someday. And as you guys say, you spoil them all up. And who was it going to send a Mountain Dew home with my kids this week? That's right. Send them out and do home with them. Here, have this in the car. And then the Tippetts were so gracious to give us, each of them, a chocolate candy thing last night. And here you go. Here's your dessert. And have a good night. No, sorry. And we have to break their hearts in the car. No, it's not today. And this morning, it was the first thing they asked for was their chocolate candy bar from the Tippetts. And no, you can't have it again. Sorry. And so I don't know when we're going to get their candy bars. I don't know. I think I'll probably end up eating it, so... He's not in here, so he doesn't know that. No, so listen, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Pastor and Ms. McPhillips. You guys have been a huge, wonderful host to be around and to be encouraging. And you guys are hard workers. You guys have a hardworking group of folks leading this ministry. And I don't know if you slept at all this week. You sure look like you got some sleep. You don't fall asleep, okay? I left here, and he had like 10 other things he had to do, and then he picked me up at 7:30 in the morning, and he just smiled on his face and everything. So praise the Lord for that, and that was an encouragement to my heart. And so you guys are good folks. I appreciate the time that I got to be here. And as Pastor said, we're going to my aunt's house in Michigan. Pastor didn't want us to be here around for the vote. It's kind of awkward or something, I don't know. So we're going to go to my aunt's house in Michigan and just kind of wait to what the Lord has in store for us. And if the Lord has us here, then you'll see us back here Sunday. And we'll be in our place there serving with the teenagers. I enjoy the youth group there, serving on the bus. Jason and Angel, I see you guys have a heart for that. And just know my heart is just as fond of the bus kids and the bus ministry. And so I praise, look forward to serving the bus and the kids and the teenagers. And look forward to serving you. As I told many of you on Tuesday morning that came to our fellowship, my heart is to serve. I think, how many of you guys know Patch the Pirate? You might know Patch the Pirate. For you, my wife bought a Patch the Pirate CD for Christmas for one of the boys, and it's been in our CD player ever since. And it just plays in the background. And one of the things it says there is one of the greatest things you could be is not a king, but a servant. And I fully agree with that. I want to serve. I want to help. I like doing things for other people. I'm that kind of person. That's not. Some of you think talking to Mr. Tippett, he said, "Yeah, you guys are just too nice." He goes, "What's the deal here? You guys are going to be all, you know, out and helping and saying all this, and you're going to get here and do nothing." And I said, no, Mr. Tippett, that really is not the case. He says, "I hate brown nosers." I said, I do. I cannot stand people who brown nose people, okay? I'm not a brown noser. I'm the opposite. I look like one. I guess I act like one because he thought I was. That's not me. I truly am seriously sincere in helping people and wanting to do my best. And so he was like, "I just don't know about you. I don't know if I have Brother Tippett's vote or not," because he just thinks... He thinks I'm a fake and a phony, and I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to... Do I just not show up or something? "See, you know, I told you. I just not give..." He was telling me about the union jobs. You know, "I got in trouble for giving 100%. You're going to get in trouble for giving 100% too around here." I was like, "Oh, sorry." I give my best, and I love serving people. And so I'm so glad to be here, and I want to help you guys this morning, and I'm so thankful to get to preach last Wednesday night, and I just encourage you all and helping you guys understand you made the right choice. You guys remember that? You made the right choice. Just being in church and serving God and being around Him is the right choice that you made. And many times we get discouraged thinking, "Did I make the right choice? Is going to church the best thing for me? Is making the decisions to live for God and not sin, is that really the right choice?" And I just want to encourage you last Sunday, you make the right choice when you do that. All right, God is pleased, other people are pleased. And listen, your life is blessed because you make the right choice. And I hope that was an encouragement to you, and I hope this week you were able to maybe share the fact that God has blessed you. I think it was Brother Joe told me he had the courage to go and tell one of his nurses. I think he was telling me that he was doing her blood pressure or something. He's telling her about Jesus. I was like, probably, you know, if they don't want to hear about Jesus, probably not the best time when they have their hands on you to be doing that. You know, make sure their hands are not on you or close to your throat or your eyes, you know, so they, you know, he was praise this and encouraged me. He says, God has been good to Brother Joe. And he said, I just want to let people know how good God has been to me. And if we'll change the mindset around of our hearts, realize, hey, listen, we have a good thing going. We have not just a good thing, a great thing. We have the best thing going for us in the fact that we have the Heavenly Father watching over us and keeping us safe. And if we'll begin to share that with other people and help them understand, hey, listen, we've got the better end of the stick here. And you could come on over and come to church, and you'll find out that the better end of the stick, we've got the better end of the bargain over here with the Lord on our side. And I want to encourage you again this morning, and I want you to understand that you're worth something. I know many of us come from all different backgrounds, and all of us are different, okay? And we look at people sometimes, and we say, I wish I could be that person. How many of you have ever looked at somebody and said, I wish I had that guy's talents or that I had that lady's looks? How many of you would raise your hand? Be honest. I have looked at somebody in my life and been jealous of who they are, okay? That's natural, okay? All of us look at other people and say, they're more important or they're more valuable than I am. I mean, many of us would look today at a Bill Gates or a famous athlete, a Tom Brady, and say, man, those guys are just so much more important than little old I am. And folks, I just want to encourage you to understand, God didn't create you to be Bill Gates. God did not create you to be Tom Brady. Praise God, we're not all Tom Brady's. Praise God, we're not all Bill Gates. God created you to be you. And this morning we talked about in the teen class about a little man named Ehud, a left-handed man, a man who, in most opinions, would say had nothing great in his life. But he, listen, God gave him some gifts. He made him left-handed. He gave him some special things. And listen, Ehud went on to do great things for God to deliver them from King Eglon of Moab. And folks, I just want to encourage you today and understand, listen, we're going to talk about some things that may not sound pleasant. I'm going to call you such things as clay. I'm going to call you folks things like axes. I'm going to call each of you tools. And you're going to look at me and say, what's so good about a tool? What's so good about a piece of clay? What's so good about an axe? That doesn't sound very pleasant. It doesn't sound very appealing. But folks, we're going to encourage you today. Listen, an axe, a piece of clay, a tool in the hand of God is a mighty thing. Mightier than any army, mightier than any wise man out there, mightier than any rich man out there is just a piece of clay, a tool, an axe in the hand of God. And folks, we're going to look at some verses this morning to help you understand you are important. You are valuable. And when you leave this room today, I want you to leave here today saying, listen, I have a purpose for my life. I was not an accident. God did not create me and say, oops. You know, I was told that growing up, you were an accident. Oops, you know, okay? And maybe some of you, don't raise your hand, you were told the same thing. You were an accident. There's no purpose, there's no point in your life. And I want you to know, God doesn't make mistakes. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And the fact that you're still breathing and alive today proves that God is not finished with you. All right? God still has a plan and a purpose for you. And I want you to understand that. And I want you to go out here with purpose. I want you to go out here with a passion to say, what is my purpose? What does God have for me? And to go find that and do it and see God use you in a mighty way. We see here in Isaiah 49:5, and we see here some people that God was telling, hey, I have a plan for you. Isaiah 49:5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him through Israel, to not be gathered yet, shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. This verse says that he formed me from the womb to be his servant. It goes on to say, to be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, from the womb, God formed you, and he made you the way you are. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Here God is saying, before he formed them, before they were even born, there was a purpose for Isaiah. There was a purpose for Jeremiah. And here we see in John chapter 9, this is a very famous story here, John chapter 9 verses 1 through 3, and Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. Here's a blind man who everybody would have said, there's no point nor purpose for this blind man's life. And Jesus Christ comes upon this blind man that everybody had cast aside and say he's a poor, begging, blind man. And they said, what's the point? Who's sin? Why is this guy blind? And Jesus said, no. Nobody sinned. This blind man is blind for a reason, for my glory and for my purpose. And folks, I want you to understand, God knew who you are. God knew who you would be. God formed you. God made you the way he made you for a purpose and for a plan. I have a nephew, my sister's oldest son. His name is Carson. About 2 months before Carson was born, my wife and I got the phone call that they found out that Carson had spina bifida. If you don't know anything about spina bifida, it's a very serious disease. It cripples their legs and can have even far greater impacts than that. And some people have spina bifida and are just fine, but they discover that his spina bifida was pretty severe and that his spinal cord was tangled in a knot. And there was going to have to be some emergency surgery done when he was born. And basically, to my understanding, she didn't even get to hold him, right? He was born, and they rushed him off to go do surgery. And from that day forward, Carson has not been able to feel his legs. He's not been able to move his legs. And he's got this spina bifida. And to my understanding, without a miracle of God, he never will. And many people, even some of my own family, looked at Carson and said, what's the purpose? Why would God do that for him? Why would God make him a crippled from birth and not allow him to walk? And I've questioned that too. Oh, how I wish Carson would walk. Oh, how I pray for it. I beg and plead, God, would you let Carson walk? And then I think, maybe God didn't plan for Carson to ever walk. Maybe God planned for Carson to be in a wheelchair. Well, why would God have Carson in a wheelchair? Well, listen, so that Carson could reach people in wheelchairs. Maybe God has Carson in a wheelchair to maybe encourage somebody along the way to be thankful for what they have. And Carson is such a sweet young boy. And folks, listen, maybe you're not crippled this morning. Maybe you're just a little different than somebody. And you think, God didn't have a special plan for me. Listen, God does. He has a plan for Jeremiah. He had a plan for Isaiah. He had a plan for this blind man. He has a plan for my little nephew, Carson Orr. And God has a plan, a purpose for you. And we're going to see here in this passage of Scripture, this is where I want you to turn to, Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 12. God has a purpose for you. You're not an accident. God wants to use you to do great and mighty things. But many times we get thinking how great we are and how mighty and how strong we are and how much we know. And we do our own things and we never put our power, we put ourselves in the power of God. We just go on our own power. And listen, you can only go so far in your own power. You can only defeat so many enemies in your own power. You can only see so many people saved in your own power. But when you put your tool, your life, into the hands of an almighty God, you find out, wow, I can do great things. It's Isaiah chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, which I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the kings of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, by strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures. I have put down the inhabitant like a valiant man, and my hand hath found a nest to the riches of the people. And as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moveth the wing, or openeth his mouth, or peeped. Shall the axe boast against him that heweth thereof? Or shall that saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if a rod shake itself against that lifted up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself as it were no wood? Therefore shall the Lord of hosts send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning fire in the burning of a fire. What is this passage saying? This passage is saying there are some people out there who boast of their great works, who say they've done great things, mighty things. Look at what I have done. And God says, listen, you've not done any of it. You were just an axe. You were just a saw. You were just a tool that I used to accomplish great things. And because you did not realize that the great things you accomplished were because of me, leanness. And because you did not realize, and because you did not praise me for allowing me to use you to do that great thing, I'm going to take it all away and I'm going to destroy you. And how many times did God do that in his word? A saw an axe, a staff. And on Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. Listen, God, time after time, helps us to realize we're not in control. We are simply a tool. We are simply an instrument in his hands. And many times we get away with doing our own thing, and many times we accomplish great things on our own, and then listen, whoosh, it falls away. We find out I wasn't in control to start with. It was God's. I've had that moment in my life where I realized I wasn't in control, and no matter how hard I tried on my own, I wasn't going to make it. I needed Jesus, and I needed him and his help. And I hope and I pray that this message will encourage your hearts this morning to help you understand you need God. And help you understand, listen, God needs you. Let's pray and ask him to get involved in this. Dear Lord God, we love you. Lord, we're so thankful for your love for us and your goodness. God, we're so thankful for your mercy that you give us, Lord, every day. Lord, we are sinners. We are failures. Lord God, we are nothing. You are everything. And God, you give us everything, and you entrust us with everything, and nothing we have of ours is ours. You've given it to us all, and we praise you for it. God, help these folks today, and help me, Father, Lord. Not, this message is not just for the folks, it's for me. It's for all of us to understand, Lord God, you are so good and so great and so mighty. And Lord God, we are nothing. But God, when we come to you, and when you come to us, and when we are empowered by your Spirit and empowered by your will, God, we can accomplish great things. And Lord, how I know, and I know, Father, that there are some great people in this room who have great potential. And Lord, when they put their potential in your hands, God, there can be great and mighty things done. And God, it's a desire in my life to see revival. It's a desire in my life to see thousands and thousands and thousands of souls saved. And Lord God, I know there's people in this room to see that happen. God, the potential is here. Your power is offered to us. And God, I pray today that these folks will realize their potential to plug it into the power of God, to be productive, Father, and do great things. Lord, I pray for that one today who's lost. Lord, I'm certain there's someone in this room today who's never, ever put their trust in Jesus Christ. They've never asked Jesus to forgive their sins. They've never, Lord, truly believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross, buried and rose again, and lives today. They don't put their trust in that. God, their trust in their own good works to get them to heaven. God, help them to realize today their good works mean nothing. Father, Lord, we cannot earn our way to heaven. We cannot be good enough to get to heaven. God, the only way we get to heaven is by Jesus. I pray even today someone might receive Christ as their Savior and get saved and be on the way to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a young person growing up, many of us had parents who spoiled us, who took good care of us. Mine was my grandma. Growing up, my grandma made me feel like I was something special. All right, how many of you had a grandparent or a loved one who spoiled you and made you feel very important as a young person? Many of us would say we had that person in our life. Okay, how many of you fathers have ever called your daughter a princess? Princess. All right, grandparents, maybe you've done that, my little princess. And, you know, we tell our kids, we tell our young people how great they are, how smart they are. You know, they get A's on their first grade math test. We make them feel like they're Einstein, all right? And when they're playing baseball, you know, this was me. You know, my grandparents came to my baseball games. My dad came to my baseball games. And, man, when I was done, they gave me high fives and said how great of a baseball player I was. All right, and I just really did. I mean, I love the Yankees, and I thought one day I was going to play on the New York Yankees, and I was going to be there with Derek Jeter, and that was just going to be me. All right, and until I realized this was my coming to life moment. Okay, they had all of us do our skills one year, and we did our running tests. We hit the ball, we caught the ball, we fielded, and they did all this stuff, and they're now trying to put us on teams. All right, and I distinctly remember these two girls. They were the only girls in our league. It was a co-ed league, but there were only two girls. I distinctly remember this. He picked the girl to be on his team before he picked me to be on his team. And that made me so upset. Why on earth would he pick the girl first? I'm better than she is. I'm better than she is. But then I ended up on the same team as the other girl. And I was like, okay, well, this is okay. And I remember, where am I going to play, coach? Shortstop, pitcher, right field. Where's Jennifer going to play? Oh, she's going to be our shortstop this year. What? Jennifer, what can she do? She's a girl. She can't even throw the ball. And he looked at me and said, son, neither can you. What? What do you mean? And if, I kid you not, because my grandparents and because my parents had made, my dad had made me feel like I was some great baseball player, and because I thought I was something great, only to find out that people who weren't my grandparents, who weren't my dad, who were honest with me and said, you stink. And it wasn't very long after that I quit playing baseball. I had that moment in my life where I realized I'm not very special. You know, and as I told you last week, taking tests was not my forte. I realized that, listen, I'm not the smartest person. I'm not the most athletic person. I'm not the most best-looking person around. And it was at a very early age when I realized I'm not much. And it was at a fairly early age, at 15, when I found God. And it was at a fairly early age, at 16 years old, when I began to serve children and began to teach them. And I began to realize, hey, with God's word and with God's people, I have a place. I have a purpose. And I began to stop looking at baseball. I began to stop looking at the things that I didn't have and started looking at the things I had. And with God and with his help, God has blessed me and used me beyond I could ever imagine. I'm a much better preacher than I am a baseball player. I'm a much better preacher than I am a scientist, because that's where God had for me. Folks, listen, in your life, you've probably come to that moment in your life where you realize, young ladies, you weren't a princess. I can only imagine. I'm never going to call my daughter a princess, because she's not. She's never, ever going to be a princess, I don't think, all right? That's ever going to happen. So I'm not going to call her princess, because, oh, when she finds out, you're not a princess, dear. You're just a Frasier, and we don't have any kingdoms or land or property or nothing, and so I'm sorry. You know, I hate to see those tears. I'm not a princess. I hate to see that. And you in your life have come to the point where you realize you want a king and you want a princess. At least I don't think there's any here, right, Pastor? No kings and princesses here. You came to the point where you realized you weren't the best baseball player either. You came to realize you weren't good enough. And you came to understanding, hey, look, I don't have it all. I need help. Hopefully you came to that point. Hopefully you're not living in a dream world today. You've come to reality. I understand that as human beings, we are failures. As human beings, we are foolish. As human beings, we make mistakes. As human beings, there's only so much we can accomplish. There's only so many hours in a day to where we can do things. And there's only so much impact we can have. And folks, I've hoped you've come to that realization in your life that we need help. Amen?
Amen.
You hope you've come to the realization in your life that I need Jesus. I need the Lord God Almighty in my life to help me. I need him to hold me. I need him to drag me. I need him to lead me, to guide me into my life, because me, myself, and I am not doing a very good job on our own. And maybe you are doing a good job on your own, but you realize still, hey, you make mistakes. And some of those mistakes you make are sin. And folks, let me just tell you, there's some people in this room today who've never come to the realization that their sin is punishable by sentence to hell. Because you're a sinner, because you make mistakes, whether it's a little sin or whether it's a big sin, the Bible simply says sinners are going to die and go to hell. We're all sinners. Sin must be paid for. That debt is hell. And we cannot be good enough to get to heaven, because one sin separates us from God. But listen, Jesus Christ saw that we couldn't get to heaven. Jesus Christ saw that we could not keep the commandments. None of us in here have kept the commandments. We've all lied, okay? We've all done things, broken the commandments. And listen, so therefore we cannot be good enough to get to heaven. And Jesus says, God, they can't, Father, they can't be good enough. They can't keep the commandments even. Just those 10 laws, they can't do it. There's got to be a better way. I'll go, and I'll be the better way for them. And I'll die on the cross to forgive all of their sins if they'll simply believe and trust in me. And folks, that's where I put my trust today. I know I'm not a good person. I know that I sin. I know that I make mistakes. And I know that I need Jesus to forgive my sin. And listen, many of you today have put your trust in Jesus to forgive your sin. You are putting your trust in Jesus to take you to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, you've come to that point in your realization. And if you've not, I pray that at the end of this time, when we're done preaching and pastor begins to give the invitation and ask for those who are not saved to come forward, I pray you'll come forward. And you'll get that settled today, and you'll receive Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can have a home in heaven and not have a home in hell. And so, but most of you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you're on your way to heaven, and you trust Him to get you to heaven. But for many of us, that's where it stopped. I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I trust Him to take me there. But then we stop there. We continue to go about our lives. Listen, Jesus doesn't just want to take you to heaven. God doesn't just want you to be in heaven. God wants you while you're on earth to do something. If Jesus only wanted you to go to heaven when you got saved, guess where you would be? In heaven, right? He would take you, I put my faith in Jesus, and boom, you'd be there. But He does not just put us in heaven right away. He says, there's a reason I saved you. There's a reason I created you. And of course it is to reach out and share the gospel to other people. All of us have that command to go and tell others about Jesus. But listen, it's not just there. There's so many other things God wants you to do. And God made you different, and God gave you different family members, and God gave you different friends, and God gave you different jobs so that you could do that job and reach those people and help those people and accomplish His will. And folks, it's my desire for you to realize today, not only do you need Jesus to get to heaven, but you need God every day to get you to where you ought to be, to accomplish what He has for you. And so, folks, we're just going to take some time this morning and help you to listen. I want you to plug into your potential. I want you to plug your life into the power of God and take what God has given you and grab what God has for you and the power that God has for you and accomplish something great. You can do it. If I can do it, if Pastor McPhillips can do it, if other people around here can do great things for God, you can too. You have more talent. God has given you a treasure. God has given you the time of day to do something great. And I pray today you'll leave here and say, I have some potential. I just need the power of God to accomplish, to do something productive. And so I want to get my outline this morning. First thing I want you to understand is this. Your potential is being poured somewhere. Your potential, the gifts, the time, the talent, the treasure that God has given you, all right, is being poured into something, okay? And throughout this lesson, throughout this summer, we're gonna take our life and compare it to Moses, okay? And so if you can put pretty much turn here to Exodus chapter 2 if you want to. I think it's going to be on the screen too. Look there. Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. We see here Moses. He had potential, amen? All right? Moses had potential, and he was pouring his potential for the first 40 years into the wrong place. We see here in Exodus chapter 2, verses 10, 11, and 12. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he called her, became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on the burdens, and spied an Egyptian, smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Here we see Moses pouring his potential as a prince, trying to think, hey, I have the potential to deliver these people out of Israel, out of Egypt. I have the potential to do something great. And did he? Yes or no? He did. But he was pouring his potential into the wrong place, not where God wanted him. He thought, hey, I'm going to deliver my children by killing these Egyptians. That's what he thought. So he killed the first one. Oh, man, yes, this worked out. I killed one Egyptian. Tomorrow I'm going to kill some more. And then we're going to, sooner enough later, we're going to be out of here, Israel. We're going to have the promised land. But the next day he ends up running away into the desert. And for 40 years he lives in exile. God had to show him, hey, Moses, that's not how you're going to deliver the children of Israel. Not by your power. And folks, in our life, we have to understand you are pouring your potential, your time, your talent, your treasure into something. You're pouring your time. God has given you the gifts that God has given you. You're pouring it into somewhere. Now listen, I want you to understand letter A, the world's fame and fortune is futile. The world's fame and fortune that we're seeking after, that we're trying to do great things for, listen, it's futile. It's not going to accomplish a whole lot. Listen, there's only so much you can do without God. And listen, Moses found that out. My futile efforts, what I think is the best way, ended up not being the best way. Folks, listen, I pray that you'll understand you have something important to do for God. And you need to start doing it. You're pouring that potential away. The longer and longer you put it off, the less time you'll have to do it. And I pray today you'll understand, hey, I've got to pour it into something that's worth it. Letter B, your efforts and interests will fall short. Your efforts and interests, all these things that you put your time, your talent, your treasure into, listen, when it all comes down and it matters most, when we stand before the judgment seat of God, God will say, it mattered nothing. All the stuff I gave you, everything I gave you, you poured into this, and it didn't matter. And folks, I want you to stop and think, what is it? What is it today that you're pouring your treasures, you're pouring your potential into? Is it making a difference for God? Is it what he had you accomplish? Or would maybe some of us be honest today and say, the potential that I have, I'm pouring out into the toilet, let's say. I'm pouring it out into a bag, as the word of God says, with holes. It just flows out. And I hope today you'd understand that's not what God had meant for you. God did not have meant for you to give you all this to put in a bag with holes to just flow out. God wanted you to give the tools you had to do something great. So number two, I want you to understand this. Your plan is provided when you pay attention to the Father. Your plan, the purpose that God has for you, is provided when you stop and say, God, what do you want? And we have Moses here in Exodus chapter 3 finding out from God himself what he wanted from him. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great thing, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw now thy hither and put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am now come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land that is a good land, and to a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth the people of children of Israel out of Egypt. Folks, listen, this is God coming to Moses and saying, Moses, are you ready to find out what your potential is to be poured into? Are you ready to find out the plan I have for you? And listen, Moses there in the backside of the desert as a shepherd says, take me anywhere but here, Lord. Please, I don't want to be a shepherd anymore. I don't want to just be here on the backside of the desert with my sheep. I want to do something great. And how many of you, don't raise your hand, but think, how many of you would like to say, I would like more about my life than just what I have. I would like more in my life than just what the Lord has for me today. I want more. I'm not satisfied. That's where I'm at today, folks. I'm 30 years old and I'd say, I want more, God. What else is there? And Moses says, I want out of the shepherding business. I want to get into something that's profitable. Send me, Lord. What do you want me to do? Listen, folks, God has a purpose for you and a plan for you. And it's when you get before him and say, God, what else is there out there? That God shows you and he opens your eyes and shows you those that are in captivity and sin. He shows you those that are lost and on the way to hell. And he says, I have a plan and a mission and a purpose for you. It's not just to work this job. It's not just to raise your family. It's not just to be a fisherman. It's not just to be a mother. It's to be a savior of people, to go out and to tell them about Jesus. Not you saving them, but you go out and telling them about Jesus. Listen, Moses opened his eyes and saw there's a great problem. And God said, you're the solution. Did Moses think he was the solution, yes or no? Did Moses think he had the solution to save the children of Israel, yes or no? At this time, right here. Yes or no? No. He said, not me, Lord. I can't even speak. My tongue, I don't even be able to talk. They want to kill me. He tried to make every excuse in the book, but God said, I want you, Moses. I want you, Moses. Moses just said, well, it's better than being a shepherd. It's better than being away in the land of Midian. I'm going to go do it. And I'm going to go see what you have for me, Lord. Listen, you find your plan when you pay attention to the Father. Letter A, God is trying to get your interest. God is trying to get your attention. Listen, every week you come to church, the Holy Spirit hopefully is speaking to you about something. If you come to church and you sit in your pew every week and God doesn't encourage you to do something, listen, you need to come out and find out why God doesn't want you to do more, because he wants you to do more. He's trying to get you to do more. He's trying to get you to come down to the altar and give your life to him. Listen, he's trying to get your attention. But we've got either calloused, we've got distracted. What is it in your life, folks, that God doesn't have your interest anymore? He wants your attention. He wants to be able to speak to you, to show you, to lead you, to guide you, but we are not paying attention. Let it be, God has already given us his instructions. Well, what is God's will for my life? All right, I had a guy, you know, who I'm not going to tell you what college you went to because it doesn't matter. But he looked at me and he says, Cody, it's God's will for your life to come to our college. It's God's will for your life to go and be a preacher someday. I know it just as much. And I was like, oh, wow, man, that's so awesome. You know God's will for my life. That's great. And I was so ignorant that I thought he knew. Wow, how do you know? And then I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, this guy thinks the God's will is to go here. He tell you that? Yeah, he told me it was God's will. Listen, Cody, he doesn't know God's will for your life. Only you and the Word of God can show you his will for your life. And listen, folks, God is trying to instruct you. He's already given you the instructions of how to do great things for him. It's called the Bible. And many times we don't accomplish great things. Many times we don't fulfill what God has for me. We do not follow his will because we do not follow the instructions. Folks, it's very plainly written out here what God wants you to do. He wants you to be a soul winner. He wants you to live for him. He wants you to accomplish great things. He wants to take you and make you into an Ehud. He wants to take you and make you into an Elijah. He wants to take you and make you into a Peter. I could never be a Peter. Yes, you could. Peter was just a fisherman. And time after time, he denied that he even knew Jesus. He was scared. And after Jesus ran away, he said, I'm going to go fishing now. I'm going to go back to being a fisherman. Listen, we could be a Peter. We could do great things for God, but listen, we've got to follow his plan. We've got to listen to his instruction. Point number three, simply this, is we need to get plugged in so we can be powerful. We need to be plugged in to the source of God. Okay, hey, look, you come to the point, realize God has a plan for me. Okay, God, I'm willing to accept you have a plan and a purpose for me. Okay, now listen, the next step is for you to get plugged into that, to get plugged into the power source, to get realizing, hey, it's God and not me. God has a plan for me. All right, God, what is it? All right, this is your plan for me to follow your word. Okay, I've got your word. I know it. Now listen, use me. Help me take this word and apply it and do great things for you. Letting the Holy Spirit, the power of God upon your life to see you plug into your potential and perform what God has for you. We see here in Exodus chapter 14, this is the first time that Moses, okay, you remember Moses left, he went and he saw the 10 plagues. Did Moses, when he was doing the 10 plagues, have anything to do with that, yes or no? When Moses went there, he just said, are you going to let us go? And the Pharaoh said, no. Moses says, okay, well, tomorrow God's going to bring a plague. Okay, Moses himself had truly not gotten to the point where he really needed God. God had just kind of given it to him. Now we come to, in Exodus chapter 14, to where the children of Israel have been released, and now they're standing at that sea, and listen, Moses is realizing, okay, I'm not a great leader. I led my people to the sea. And the Egyptians are there, and there's a sea here. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing here. God, show me what I'm supposed to do. And here we see in Exodus 14, verse 9. Exodus 14, verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside, that word, Phil-Haroth, before That word, Baal Ziphon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we had to tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He says, don't look at me for leadership. Don't look at me for help. He says, look to him, because he's the one that's going to get us through this. Not me. Stop looking at Moses. I'm just the tool. Verse 14. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land, ground through the midst of the sea. Folks, listen. Until this point, all Moses was just a figurehead. Everybody looked at Moses, and Moses, listen, Moses at this point says, it's not me, it's God. It's not me, the one that you need to look for. You need to stop coming to me, and you need to stop praying for God. And God says, listen, Moses, it's the same. When you run into trouble, don't murmur, don't complain, don't be afraid, just come to me. And Moses at this point realized, hey, I have potential, but my potential and my leadership skills are zero by myself. I'm a failure, I'm a fool, I make mistakes, but God helped me. And he plugged his life into God. And what did they see? They saw the Red Sea crossed. They saw a great thing happen that day because, listen, Moses plugged his life into God. And folks, listen, in your life, you have to come to realization God wants you. And then you have to come to the point and realize it's not me, you. It's not me, God, it's you. Would you use me? I say here, there's a point to understand. Tools are just pretty until they're used for their purpose. Tools are just a pretty, just pretty. And folks, listen, many of you are here today and you look good. And you look sharp. Okay? And listen, that's great. Listen, there, but listen, that's not what we're supposed to be, just something that looks good. There's not supposed to be just this outward appearance of someone that loves God. There's supposed to be something on the inside where we're used for our purpose, where we get dirty for Jesus, where we get down on our hands and knees and we sweat for the Lord. Listen, tools are pretty until they're used for their purpose and they get a little dirty on them. They get a little bit of sweat on them. All right, listen, folks, if you've never used your tool to sweat for the Lord, listen, you're just pretty. And that's great. It's okay to look good. It's okay to get cleaned up. But folks, there needs to come a point in time in our life where we start getting a little dirty for the Lord. We start seeing ourselves, hey, listen, there's some effort that has to be put into this. You know, a sower who goes forth to sow the seed, guess what? He has to get a little dirt on his feet. Listen, a prayer warrior is you're gonna know a prayer warrior by the fact that their knees are gonna be a little faded. Folks, listen, I'm telling you, you're just a tool that's pretty. Until you start being used for your potential, then you start getting a little used. You start getting a little rusty. You start getting a little showing that, hey, listen, there's some use there. Folks, what in your life do you have to show for your service? Where are your scars? Where's your effort? Where's the tired feeling you have from serving God all the time? Is it there? Don't just be a pretty tool. Don't just sit there on a pew as Pastor talked about. Find something that you can plug yourself into and say, I want to be used. I want to get dirty for the Lord. I want to do something that can be useful, be powerful, can help people. Don't just be a pretty tool. Moses was just a showboat, just a sign for God until finally, listen, he got a little dirty for the Lord. And listen, consistently after consistently, consistently, Moses had him get himself a little dirty so that God could use him to do great things. Let her be here. Our talents, time, and treasure replenished when poured out to God. Listen, you find yourself at the end. God, I have served you. I've given you my all. Lord, I'm empty. But when you're plugged into the eternal power source of God, guess what? You're never empty. You're always full. And when we pour our time, our talents, and our treasure into God, listen, he's going to replenish us time and time again and give you the strength and give you the ability and give you the wisdom to get through. But we of ourselves, guess what? We get tired. We ourselves, we get exhausted. We ourselves come to the point where, as Moses said, I don't have an answer. But God says, I do. And we plug our lives into God. Listen, and we plug our time, our talent, and our treasure into the Lord. We find out, listen, it's limitless. It's amazing, huh? Some of you can attest to this. I give all my money. I give all my time. I give all my treasure. And it seems like I should have nothing. And yet somehow, some way, I seem to still have some left over. Amen? How does that happen? Well, it's not of me. It's of God. I give my tithe, I give of myself and my service, and it should, by financially speaking, it should look like I'm in the poorhouse. But lo and behold, God blesses me again and again
and again and again. How does that happen? Because you're plugged into God's power source, and it's a never-ending battery. It's a never-ending blessing. It's overflowing you. As you give, and as you serve, and as you pour out, and as you do, God fills you up again. But folks, so many times today, we're not pouring into God, and we're emptying ourselves out, and there's never a refilling, a refreshing. We find ourselves broken and alone. It's time to start pouring into something that matters.
Point number four will be done. The more energy we place into it, the better the product. The more energy we place into it, the better the product. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. I think it will be there for you. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house? For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, talking about Jesus, insomuch as he who had builded the house for more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which should be spoken after. In the book of Hebrews, the author here is trying to find an Old Testament example of someone who he could compare to Jesus. And he could find no one more faithful than Moses. Listen, Moses was faithful. He served God to the end of his life, to the day he died. He was faithful. And listen, the more time you put into something, the more energy you place into something, hey, the better the product's going to be. And Moses placed his entire life into the children of Israel, into the point in time where his family and his children had to leave. Point in time to, listen, everybody after him died. But Moses says, I'm going to stay faithful. And he put his energy and his efforts, he put all he had, he put his life into the children of Israel. And in the Old in the New Testament, when they compare Moses to somebody, they compare him to who? Jesus. Because Jesus did the same thing. Jesus poured his life into us as Moses poured his life into the Israelites. They gave themselves for something that was bigger than them. And folks, listen, if you will give your life to Jesus, not just one day, not just Sunday, but Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and not just 2016, but 2017 and 2018 and 2020 and 2030, if you'll just be faithful to pour your time, your talent, and your treasure into the Lord and put it where it's supposed to be, you'll find out, hey, there's a pretty good product here. There's a pretty good ministry here. There's a God of people that we'll be able to reach because I was faithful to do it. Folks, if we just reached 5 people every year for the Lord, just 5, and we could all do that, just imagine how full this church would be. Just imagine how this nation would change if just 5 of us, if we just reached 5, all of us. Revival. We have the potential. We're just pouring it into the wrong place. And don't just renew your 5 this year, win them next year. Don't just fill up your class this year. Hey, and you pour them into the next classroom, go fill it again. Well, I lost all my kids. They moved up. Well, go find some more kids. And do it again next year. And do it again the next year. And do it again the next year. And after your time at being in your service, Lord, you'll find out, wow, I was able to have an impact on a lot. We see here letter A, the more you put into it, the more you pull out. The more you put in the work of God, the more you pull out of the fire. The more you pull out of hell, you put into the house of God, you put into the work of God, and listen, you'll begin to find yourself pulling more and more people out of hell. The longer you plug on, the more prizes you'll receive. The longer you plug on, the more prizes that you'll receive. Just keep going.
Just keep moving forward. And when you get to heaven, you're going to find out, hey, I didn't have much on earth, but glory, hallelujah, there's prizes and crowns and rewards waiting for me there. And I guarantee you, you're going to forget anything that you had on earth, anything that's precious to you on earth. When you get to heaven, you're going to find out this is what's precious: God and the Lord and these prizes and these rewards that God has given me. Folks, listen, I encourage you today to understand this. What are you going to build with your life? What are you going to do? Is it going to be all about me? All about what I can get? All about how good I look? Okay, that's fine. Okay, but you're pouring your potential into something that is not going to matter in eternity. Or can you realize today that there's a greater purpose than what you could ever imagine? Moses would have never have imagined that he would be compared to Jesus someday. You can say, no one would ever compare me to be something great. You don't know that. You've never even tried. I guarantee you there's something great in you. You just have to find your potential, the gift that God has given you, and plug it into the hand of God and let God use you as a tool. Remember, we're just saws, we're just axes, we're just pieces of clay, we're just little rods in God's hands. What are you going to use your rod for? What are you going to use your saw for? Are you just going to build your little house, a little kingdom? Or are you going to, I know we've been talking about Moses, but let's look at Noah. Noah built an ark. He took his time, his treasure, his talents, and he built him an ark. Why? So he could save his family and save the entire human race. Folks, are you going to spend your entire life just building you a little kingdom? Nice and shiny? No, I encourage you to take the tool that God has given you and begin to work on building an ark to save a bunch of people, to save a group of people, to see something that God will say that people look at before and say, oh, do you remember so-and-so? Do you see what they built for God? And the rewards and the treasures and the honor that will come to you will be so much. But you got to plug into the right potential. And I'm going to close with these verses. We all know them. 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love is appearing. Folks, the Apostle Paul is saying here, listen, I am ready to go because there's more waiting for me there than there is on earth. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Or would you say, I'm not ready. I don't think there's much waiting for me there. Well, get to work, folks. Start building your ark. Start taking the tool, the treasures, the time, the talent that God has given you and say, I'm going to plug it into the hand of God. And God, use me to do great things. And he will. I promise you, he will. I am a test of that. And many of you know other people who are a test of that too. And we're no different than you. We're no different. I'm a human being just like you are. Nothing special about me. Nothing special about Elijah. Nothing special about Peter. They just put their lives into the right purpose. And great things happen. Let's pray. Heavenly precious Father, we love you. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you have done. God, we're so thankful, Lord, today that you have saved us through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful today that, Lord, you do not just take us right to heaven, but, Lord, you give us some time here on earth to do something for you. And, Lord, many of us put our trust and faith in the fact that you'll get us to heaven, but, Lord, many of us will not trust you with the rest of it. And, Lord, I'm here today to tell them, Lord God, that, Lord, you have given them much, much, much. And, Lord, what they do with that much is up to them. And, Lord, I pray today they'll understand they're just a tool. They're just a piece of clay. And Lord, when they put that into the hand of God, great things happen. And souls are saved and lives are changed and people are helped and love is shown and God is glorified. Lord, help these folks today to look outside their box, look outside the kingdom they're building and begin to look and say, I could do better. Not by myself, but with God, I could do much more. Lord, I pray for those today who don't know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, they've never put their faith and trust in Christ alone. And Lord, if they die today, they're not sure. Would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? I'm a pretty good person, but I don't know. God, it's not their goodness. Lord, it's the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive their sins. I pray today that the people come forward and be saved today. I pray people will come forward and give their life to Jesus today. I pray people will come forward and begin to plug their life into the hand of God. And Lord, even today, you'll show them some results of what happens when they plug their potential into the eternal power source. Pray today. You'll bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You just stand up real quick. We're going to have a time of invitation. The Lord is speaking to you. This is your time to respond. And we're going to have some folks up here to help you. If you just need to ask the Lord to forgive you, then come forward. And come find me or find Pastor or find my wife or Mrs. Phillips and McPhillips, and they'll help you today. I need to know Jesus. If you just need to come forward today and say, I need to give my life to the Lord, come down and bow and give your life to Jesus and find out what there is for you waiting there. If you just need to come down today to get some things settled, get it settled. But listen, come down today. Get on your knees before God and let him use you. As the piano plays, we begin to open the invitations. It's your time to respond to what God's speaking to your heart about. As the piano plays, you can come if God's speaking to your heart. If you can do it there at your seat, if you can't come down to the altar, just tell God, what do you want from me? What would you have me to do, Lord? Would you have me do great things? I promise you, God wants you to do great things, not just stay and do the least bit.